Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. It is April 20th, 2021, at the time of our live broadcast. All of our shows are archived, so you can listen to them, enjoy them, soak them up, and share them 24/7, 365. Hope your day is going well. We're continuing our series of amazing episodes here on Close Up Radio with extraordinary guests we celebrate from around the world who are doing great things to make our world a better place. This is part two of our conversation with life coach Kathy Washburn. Kathy is a life coach specializing in transitions. She works primarily with cancer survivors and individuals after divorce or in the midst of a career transition, all of which she's experienced herself. Prior to becoming a life coach, Kathy had spent 20 years in the financial industry when revelations of marital infidelity shattered her world. Inspired by her grandfather's words, Kathy was introduced to positive psychology and became certified as a positive psychology life coach. Today, she helps people through difficult transitions using the power of positive psychology, as well as narrative healing, the power of someone's story. We're going to expand on this episode a little bit more on narrative healing and how it all works. She says many people come to her and they say they feel lost. The truth is we're always between stories. Feeling lost means you're not where you wished you were, but it doesn't mean you don't know where or who you are. Kathy's work is based on the theory of post-traumatic growth. If people have an understanding of personal strength, support, and an appreciation of life, possibilities of spirituality, there is a better chance they'll be able to navigate transition and flourish on the other side. She says we become a culture that numbs ourselves when things are uncomfortable, but negative emotions are all there for a reason. We have to be all of ourselves. We have to be connected to our emotions. We need to have forgiveness for ourselves. Every transition truly is self-love. What can we take with us from these experiences? You'll find out. It's amazing work she does, and this is, again, part two of our series with Kathy Washburn, and it's a pleasure to have her here. Thanks for joining us, Kathy, once again, as we continue our conversation on Close Up Radio. Welcome back today.
Thank you, Jim. It's an honor to be here.
You are very welcome, and it's an honor for us to have you here as well, and good conversation on episode one, and looking forward to expanding on some of these ideas and these processes a little bit more, one of which is very fascinating, and you and I were talking about it briefly before we went live on the air, and that is something called narrative healing. It does sound sort of catharsis in a way. Define for us, if you can, what narrative healing is and how you work with it with your clients.
Definitely. As humans, we all live by our stories, consciously or subconsciously. And I've been studying with Dr. David Drake. He started years ago, he started narrative coaching. And his work is really profound, but very simple. It's, we all live through these old stories that were created that might not fit our current environment, but we still act as if, and we wear them like an old sweater. You know, it's like this comfort. But when we kind of delve in and understand this story that we're living from and realize it doesn't fit anymore, that's when the healing and the growing happens. I'll give you an example. I recently coached a young woman who she was really struggling at work where she felt very underappreciated, insignificant, and taken advantage of. And she had this big report that she had done and that she was very, very proud of. And a coworker was kind of taking the credit for it. So when I first started coaching her, I think we spent the first 5 minutes as she just spun around in this world of hurt, you know, this feeling, these feelings that were getting kicked up that were old stories. And so I asked her to imagine herself in a new story. Like, what would it feel like to stand really proud and go to her boss and talk about this report that she had done and how it affected her and how she sees it affecting the company? And she was terrified. She's like, gosh, no, I can't do that. Because she thinks and she does. And it was all very projected outward, kind of blaming. And what I've learned when people tell stories in that way, the things that they're projecting are things that they're uncomfortable about in themselves but can't quite yet name because they're still kind of stuck in this old story. So we were able to tease out the fact that she was feeling unappreciated, and that was controlling her actions with her boss. And then I asked her just to role play with me. We had two chairs, and this is all done virtually, and it still works. I wish it were done where she was across from me, but I had her put two chairs and sit in one of them as her old story self and have her boss sitting across from her, and then sit in the chair from her boss just so she could see the story from a different perspective. And she realized, like, well, wait a minute, the boss asked me to do that because she thought I was good at it. So her perspective changed just by imagining herself in that different chair. And then she sat back in her chair as a new version of herself, more confident. And we kept going back and forth. And she was actually able the next day schedule some time with her boss. They had a lovely conversation. She was able to be vulnerable with her boss and say, wow, I didn't think I was appreciated for the work, opening up her boss's ability to say, wow, I'm so sad that you felt that way. That's not how I feel at all. You have these wonderful qualities. So it really was a shift for her, and she was able to create a new story that was indicative of the environment she now found herself in. Does that help? Did that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that does. Absolutely. That's incredible. And, you know, in order to be able to do that work, does the person already have to be open and available in terms of just them being emotive and willing to participate and maybe even dive deep a little bit if they have to as well? Because obviously sometimes there are different emotions they'll be feeling and there'll be different places that they have to go to within themselves and through their life experiences that they have to discuss and share that, you know, could be pleasurable, could be painful, could be confusing, frustrating, but it's all part of working through everything and making sense of it, putting sort of the pieces of the puzzle together and then taking that teachable moment and moving forward, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, that's where the positive psychology element is so crucial. Our positive emotions, you know, we have negative emotions, we have positive emotions. They both serve a purpose. The positive emotions are meant to allow us to open up and be more available to different options around us. Barbara Fredrickson is the phenom in emotional research, and she has a theory called the broaden and build theory of positive emotions. And what she says is when we're experiencing a positive emotion, we're able to see other options. We're able to be more accepting to the world around us. And this, I use this as kind of an entry point. So I'll ask people, in fact, that client, I asked her, when was a time where you felt really proud of your work, really, and you felt that you were being, you know, appreciated for something that you did? And as soon as you turn that story and they they're able to share something that is already good and right inside of them, that opens up this kind of opportunity or valve for them to start doing difficult work because they're using their own emotional state to help them. There's a concept, we call it grounded optimism, and that's being able to face reality as it is and move toward a slightly better future for yourself, one that you craft. So it's not to negate anything that's going on, because she clearly was feeling anxious and she was clearly emotionally triggered. But I wanted her to understand that there's an and to that, that she can also become the author of a new story that will fit her current environment. So I use positive psychology as almost like an opening valve for people to be able to touch the difficult parts of themselves in a way that is not accessible when we're shrouded in anxiety or fear or shame. You can't access it from that point.
I like that. That's a great example of how this really all comes to be and how it comes to fruition for the client. One of the pieces of the puzzle that could be one that a lot of people struggle with, and that is forgiveness. And it's one of the final pieces. And there's a couple of different versions of definitions of forgiveness, right? Because there's forgive those who trespass against us way of thinking. And then there's also forgiveness of oneself, forgiving ourselves as much as taking a moment to try to work on forgiving others who may have said or done things that are hurtful over the years. Let's talk about forgiveness, the overall understanding of forgiveness, and how it applies in the multiple different ways that it does, whether it's forgiving others or forgiving even ourselves.
Forgiveness is something that I have been learning, discovering, peeling back layers of. I've been fascinated by all the books about forgiveness, but there's one comment that I heard a couple of years ago by Fred Luskin. He's a researcher, and I think he's at Stanford, but he's a researcher about forgiveness. And he was telling this whole group of people, there were probably 1,000 of us there, and a woman stood up and said, "My daughter got hit by a car 10 years ago. We were walking across the street. It killed her. I got injured, but I'm still here. And I keep working on forgiveness, and I've tried to forgive and forget this person that hit her," which was a teenage driver. And Fred Luskin, who's a very eccentric guy, just started going bananas on the stage. And he said, no. "First of all, I'm so sorry for your loss, but you can't forget. Your brain will not allow you to do that. What you need to do is learn how to forgive and remember the story differently." And I thought that was so profound for me, because at that moment in my life, my husband had left for another person. He was in love with somebody else, but he had felt the need at that point to tell me that he had been cheating on me 18 of our 25 years. And that understanding just completely rocked my world. It just ripped the foundation out from underneath me. But in that moment, listening to Fred Luskin, as I was surrounded, I was at the World Happiness Summit. There is such a thing.
Yeah.
And I was surrounded by people that were learning this work to share it with all different kind of populations. And I thought, wow, I would never be here if he didn't leave me. I would still be working in finance, kind of slugging my way through life, just trying to make more money to buy more things, because that's kind of the thing I was spinning in. But he left me, and now here I am, this complete new version of myself, surrounded by like-minded people, all trying to make the world a better place. And I just, tears were just streaming down my face because I thought, wow, that's what it means. Like, I forgive him and I'm remembering this story differently. You know, I'm not a victim. I'm actually in a much more beautiful place. So forgiveness is a powerful, powerful tool to allow us to become aware of what happened or what's happening, and then also to let things go that we no longer need so we can step forward into a new version of ourselves, or the version that we wish to become.
Which is really what it's all about, because oftentimes, you know, we get so bogged down in our day-to-day living that we forget to sort of continue moving forward towards living that best version of ourselves, but the most authentic version of ourselves, living an authentic life. So forgiveness is part of that, as you're so eloquently laying out and sharing for us. There's something tying into all of this too, that is, you know, we hear about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, but we don't hear a lot about something that you're very involved in, which is post-traumatic growth. We hear post-traumatic stress disorder and we automatically think of negativity. We think of something that's going to be almost haunting for the rest of our lives, and something that can be overwhelming and take over our lives. But there is something called post-traumatic growth. Tell us about that and what that's all about and how that works. It does sound very forward movement oriented and very positive.
It has been around for millennia, but there are two researchers that coined the phrase in 1995, coined the phrase post-traumatic growth. It was Richard Tedeschi and Robert Calhoun, or Robert Tedeschi and Richard Calhoun, I think, actually. and they came through, they determined this after doing a long, long study with people in the military, and they were trying to understand why some people were coming back from tours of duty able to bounce forward and not just bounce back into their life before, but they actually bounced forward, and it was a better life than they had. And then there were some people that were coming back and they just couldn't get it together. They just couldn't bounce anywhere. And they're trying to figure out what the difference was between the two. And they came up with these five elements, or domains, they call them. And they all make perfect sense. Like, one of them is a changed perception of self, or personal strength, that idea of, wow, I got through that, I can get through anything. And I want to stop there for 1 second, because I want to make it really clear that trauma is in the eye of the beholder. Like, I could experience something with you. You and I could be in the same, have the same experience, and it would be traumatizing for me, where you kind of would just move along and say, wow, that didn't hit me that way. So it really is in the eye of the beholder. Some people think, oh, well, gosh, Kathy, you had stage 4 cancer and your husband betrayed you. Like, I have nothing what you have. That's not true. Your story is your story. It is as traumatic as it is for you. And it could be on the same level as mine. So I want to be really clear about that, because I think sometimes people almost forsake themselves by saying, oh, you know, what I'm going through isn't traumatic enough to experience this work. So I'll go back to the second element is this idea of new possibilities. There's this increased sense like, wow, I have some opportunities that I might not have seen before. The third one is having access to or the support that people need, and really shifts in the relationships, wanting a more kind of intimate level of relationships, not sexual, but more meaningful relationships. The fourth one is a sense of gratitude, a greater sense of appreciation of life as we know it. And then the fifth one is a greater overall sense of purpose and meaning. And the researchers call this spirituality, but I find that some clients get a little squirrely with that because it's not religion. It's not, although some people who experience a trauma go back to their earlier childhood religion as a faith base, but this element is really about a sense of purpose and meaning. So those five domains, I see them as portals of growth. So if you've experienced something traumatic, let's just say COVID has been traumatic for a lot of people. If I can go at, when I work with a client, from one of these portals, for example, invite them to keep a gratitude journal. There's so much research on the emotion of gratitude. But one of the most profound ones for me is understanding that if you keep a gratitude journal for 30 days and just find one thing in the day that you were grateful for and how it made you feel, after that 30 days, your brain actually starts to look for good things because you've put it into this practice. You've created a new neural pathway. So after you finish that practice for 30 days, your brain is actually on the lookout for the good. Isn't that fascinating?
Mm, that really is. That absolutely is. That's amazing.
Yes.
And it's so
positive,
too.
So I use these as portals. Right, yeah. Right. I'll share something with you on the topic of gratitude. At the beginning of COVID, I live by myself, and I'm a very social person. I have a lot of friends from around the world, but I felt very isolated, like everybody. And so one morning, in a selfish way, I decided to reach out to friends, all of my friends, and send them the three things I was grateful for that day and why I was grateful for them, and then invite them to send me theirs. So this started as a text. I texted my friends. I WhatsApped my friends in different countries. And for almost 3 weeks, I got three things people were grateful for from 70 different people every day.
Mm.
Every day. Mm. I would just cut and paste. So now I have this spreadsheet of over 2,000 lines of things that people were grateful for through that COVID experience. And some of them are so beautiful, they make me cry. Others, they make me cry because they're so funny. For example, one of my friends said, "I'm grateful for eggs. I was hatched by one, I laid two, and they make a great omelet." And I thought that was just the funniest thing. But she
That's
was
a great way to look
eggs.
At it, right?
In that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so like the story of taking the lemons and turning them into lemonade.
Exactly. Yeah, it was such a beautiful practice. And I coach a young man in California. He's 27, and he's been in and out of addiction facilities since he was 19. And we started, he was doing this gratitude practice with me. At the beginning of COVID, he was really struggling. He was in lockdown in a facility in California. And he was the one that stayed true to it for months and months. We did this practice together. And he just sent me the kindest note last week saying that these three lines of gratitude got him through without, you know, needing alcohol or drugs. And he kept referring to them. It was just, it's something so simple but so powerful. Mm-hmm. I sent him a copy of all of his, we call them 3 G's. I printed them out for him and sent them to him for Christmas and said, mm-hmm. "When you need something to hold on to, these are your own words. These are things that you're grateful for." And so he was referring to that list that I sent him for Christmas. And how it's pulled him out of some difficult times over the last couple of months.
Mm. That's wonderful. You know, I really like this thought of taking, there's been a lot of teachable moments during the course of this pandemic and the economic downturn and the civil unrest and the political craziness and all the things that everybody has witnessed and seen. And some of it still bleeds over into 2021, obviously. We're seeing a lot of anxiety and depression and people sort of lashing out and acting out in some, you know, rather frightening ways. This work that you do provides a sense of common healing in so many different ways and unification, it seems, as well, Kathy.
Yes, specifically the emotion work. I mean, I think giving people the permission to feel what they feel and understanding if what they're feeling is a negative emotion that might be tied to an old story. You know, it's inviting people to really become sense drenched, you know, to really feel what they're feeling and understand, wait, is this an old recycled negative feeling? Or is this something new I need to pay attention to? And then using their positive emotions to respond to life versus react to it. You know, decisions will be quite different, although you're working from the same set of facts, if you're coming at it from a negative perspective or a positive perspective. And I'll say that again, the decision will be quite different, even though you're working from the same set of facts.
Right.
So when you're negative and scared and fearful, you're going to make a choice that's very different than if you're feeling content or optimistic or confident, even though the basic facts of the situation are the same. And we need more understanding in this world. So this work is really crucial for emotional resilience.
It really is. And you, it's obvious, Kathy, that you're very passionate about it and that you love this work, and it's a reflection of really who you are. Transitions, obviously, can be uncomfortable, whether positive or negative. The power is in the epiphany, and you've lived it, you've experienced it, and I think that's what makes you very relatable. It's not a cookie-cutter approach. It's not one-size-fits-all, and at the same time, you have a compassionate, empathetic way of understanding the human condition, and having been through things yourself and being open and emotive about it, it also puts those who you are working with and helping along the way to open up and emote and share with you things probably they would not share with anybody else, and you can relate to it and then find different ways combining your expertise and skill set and education and all the things, you know, that you have in your toolkit with the human side of who Kathy Washburn is as somebody who's been through things in her own life like we all are experiencing and have experienced, and you can relate to your client in ways that can be extremely helpful for them. That's why I encourage folks to go to the website www.kathywashburn.net. That's Kathy with a K, just like my cousin Kathy spells it, KathyWashburn.net, KathyWashburn.net, to connect with her. She's very affable, very approachable, and can find a way to work with you in ways that you probably never have dreamed. Kathy, thanks for joining us on the show. This is very enlightening and inspiring and informative, and we thank you for spending time with us here on Close Up Radio, and hope we get a chance to chat and explore some more. This was really a pleasure. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
I certainly did. I appreciate the opportunity, and I wish you well.
You as well. You keep smiling, keep doing that beautiful work you're doing, and keep empowering others to find their true, authentic nature and essence of who they are and to live it fully. I encourage folks to go to KathyWashburn.net to connect with Kathy and learn more. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, right here on Close Up Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another great guest right here just for you. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.